Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, that's fitting, because our next guest is, in fact, that person, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, man, first off, how are you, my friend? It's always good to catch up with you.
Ah, doing great. The sun is shining. The snow is melting.
What was your shoveling experience like, Chris? I'm curious, because we got, like, up here in Fort Collins, and we got close to 2 feet. Close. Not quite, but close.
Yeah, we got a legit 3 feet. So, like, I had my 4-year-old son stands about 3.5 feet tall, and so he wanted to get in the snow, and so I put him in the snow, and it was basically up to his chin.
Wow!
So that was it. Was a lot of snow, and it was as bad a shoveling experience as I've ever had.
Oh, it was the worst, man. Took me hours, and I had like trees in the backyard, and my wife's like, "Hey, you got to go shake the trees, or they're all gonna die." That took me forever. Snow just pouring down on me. It was a terrible experience.
Yeah, it really was. It's like, okay, Colorado, we get it. You can do this now. We understand. So. But good thing, you know, the beauty about Colorado is that it gets sunny really fast. And so if you can dig out, the Mother Nature will do the rest in terms of the melting.
Yeah, no, I've never been so happy to see it, a beautiful day, and just melt that stuff away, man. It was absolutely awful. The Nuggets, though, man, they have been rolling in, what, like 7 of their last 8 games? They've won 7 of their last 8 games. And Nikola Jokic, let's talk about him first, Chris. I think it always starts with the Joker. 12 points, but another triple-double. He's climbing up that list.
Yeah, he is, and I thought it was a great game for him on a couple of levels. One, he played 29 minutes. You know, that's, you know, for him, every time they can get him a game where he's playing in the 20s, and, you know, and obviously they're winning, then that is a plus. You know, take some of the wear and tear off of your main star. Part two was the minutes that he played. He only took 7 shots. I mean, he was not needed in the sense of he needed to put the team on his back in a scoring way, really be extra active every single possession down court, and do the heavy lifting for the team. Nope, he didn't need to do that. I mean, they had other players that were scoring. Jamal Murray and Will Barton and Michael Porter Jr. was obviously excellent in that game last night. So it took a little pressure off of Nikola. So not only did he play 29 minutes, they were probably as least pressurized 29 minutes as he's probably played all season long.
Now, Chris, I know it's rare when you blow teams out in the NBA to a point where, you know, your stars really don't have to play much. But if that starts to happen more and more, which I think we all hope, we want the Nuggets to put teams away that they're supposed to beat. How does the NBA weigh that factor in? If we look at it and go, well, Joker's not finishing games anymore because the Nuggets usually have it at hand. Because now the MVP watch is to that point, Chris, where every game counts. And if you just glance at the point total, that doesn't look like the Joker had a good game, but that's not the case.
Yeah, it's true, and it would be costly for sure. You know, it's kind of like so many years ago. We see this every now and then, but so many years ago, University of Texas was on their way to the Rose Bowl to play USC. Texas quarterback was Vince Young at the time, and Vince Young was awesome. But Texas was just steamrolling every single team that was in front of their in their way on their way to the Rose Bowl. He barely ever played in a fourth quarter at all the entire season. Meanwhile, Reggie Bush at USC was playing the entire games, all the games, the entire games, and just running right through everybody as well. His stats just were so much better at the end of the season because he played in the majority of the games that he ended up winning, the Heisman Trophy. And a lot of people would have argued that Vince was actually the better player that season. And so, yes, I think there is a scenario where if the Nuggets start playing unbelievable basketball and Joker is not playing in a lot of these fourth quarters, or playing in, say, 3 or 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, and it starts to affect his overall averages, that might be a separating factor. But I will say this, we're also starting to get into the point of the season where there's no more real wild swings in your averages. So unless you're going to string together 7 or 8 straight games of 10 points,
sure,
then we're not going to see, you know, a huge percentage drop in what your averages currently are. So, in other words, what Nikola's averages are right now, that's probably what they're going to be at the end of the season, unless he goes into a prolonged slump.
Yeah, no, I love that comparison too. Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV, and let's talk about Michael Porter Jr. Man, I was a little skeptical, but it sure seems like the lights are starting to come on both sides of the floor. You're seeing a more patient Porter Jr. He's looking for his teammates more, and defensively, he doesn't look so lost out there. Is it too soon to say it's finally starting to click for MPJ?
No, I don't think so. I think the evidence that you just pointed out says so. And, you know, I think for him, the mindset was first. He had to want to be better on both ends of the court. Okay, so he checked that box. Then part two is just being out there. I think the experience, just recently he crossed over that 82-game threshold for his career. So
yeah.
He just crossed over that. And so the experience does matter, being out there for significant minutes all the time, being able to go through all the situations, being able to make some mistakes and then understand why those mistakes were made and then understand how not to do that again, is a big deal. And then I think also, you know, he's getting such regular minutes with the starters again. He's starting to mesh with Jamal and Joker and Paul Millsap and Will Barton's in the starting lineup here now as well. And, you know, I think there, you can't it, – it's hard to quantify what it means to be out there with the same 5 guys all the time, because now you guys start to learn each other's game. And it's not even so much that – it's not just Michael Porter Jr. has to understand how to operate with Jamal and Joker. It's those two guys have to also alter their game and understand how to operate with Michael Porter Jr., where his strengths are on the court, where does he like the ball, all those kinds of things. And so it's a learning process for everybody involved. And once that starts to iron itself out, you can see what it does for the player. And the player, Michael Porter Jr., his comfort level is up, his confidence level is up, his, you know, everything is clicking in a way that it hasn't been before, and it's only going to get better. He continues to not be a finished product, but he's on the way to doing really great things, and I think those are the reasons why.
It's huge. And the Nuggets are climbing the standings now that they're getting players back. That's a huge thing, but they're kind of getting into this rhythm. As you said, playing with the same group is huge. What can you tell us about Gary Harris at this point, Chris?
Not much. You know, it's when Michael Malone, when he re-injured himself in the Washington game, so after the Washington game, right prior to the All-Star break, I think that it was the game that he came back. He played that full game, and then he hasn't played since. The press conference after that game, Michael Malone basically said he felt awful for Gary. He re-injured it. It didn't look fantastic. So I just took that to mean that he was going to be out a significant amount of time. And, you know, that injury, he was already out for a big chunk of time before he came back. And so it could be a while before Gary Harris returns. And I think they're going to want to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's not going to go back out there in a 5-on-5 situation and be hurt again. And I don't know how they're going to do that with the schedule the way it is, because usually you would test that out in practice. But the Nuggets play every other day, and then there's back-to-backs mixed in as well. And so you don't even have 2 days off to where one of them would be a practice day, and you could see something like that. So, my mindset on Gary Harris right now is it's going to be a while before we see him again. And so, you know, that means that the starting five that we see out there, that we've seen out there, is probably going to be the starting five that's going to be out there. And so, you know, that's Jamal, Will, Paul Millsap, Michael Porter, and Joker. So, you know, and it's too bad because the Nuggets obviously could use Gary, especially on the defensive side. But I think his health and his ability to stay healthy when he comes back on the court is first and foremost.
Yeah, no question about it. I just had a text here that said, hey, if I was picking players on a playground, I think I'd pick Joker first and then Campazzo. He's like one of the more fun, entertaining guys to watch. Chris, there's not a whole lot of players like him. I love his effort. It's just like this engine. It never stops. But now that he's kind of getting into the rhythm with this team more and learning more about this game, or the NBA game, I should say, he's becoming a pretty bit important piece to Denver.
Yeah, he is on a couple of levels. One, turns out he's a pretty good defensive player.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the ball, he just doesn't give space. He moves his feet laterally really, really well. Is able to stick with a lot of quicker ball handlers. And obviously the toughness piece is there too. I mean, he's not going to give an inch, and he's going to play physically on that side. And then on offense, they put the ball more in his hands more and more and more with that second unit. And what let's just look at his line from last night. I think he had 6 points. We had 10 assists, and then he had 4 steals.
Yeah.
And so you understand what he's doing in terms of impacting both ends of the court. But he makes that second unit. He makes a lot of sense for that second unit. He runs that offense really well. He's got great vision, obviously, with the passing. And so he gives you a chance to approximate your offense when Joker's not on the court in the respect that guys still want to cut, they still want to run hard because they know a player like that will find them all the time, and he does. And so, he's been just a fabulous story. He really has been. And I think the more that he's on the court, the more indispensable he becomes to the Nuggets. I mean, he's he's got a lot of usage out there, and it's just been nice to watch him grow. And you can obviously also see he's comfortable with himself as a basketball player. He understands who he is as a basketball player, and so it's not like a typical rookie who's trying to figure everything out. Campazzo understands who he is, and he just goes out and tries to be the best version of that for himself each time on the court.
Now they're all kind of clicking right now, and because of that, they're climbing the standings right behind the Clippers, right behind the Lakers. And who knows? We might see the Jazz and the Suns come down to earth a little bit as we get further into the second half of the season. What do you think, Chris? Will the Nuggets keep climbing? Do you see a team like the Jazz and the Suns falling a bit here in the next few weeks?
I think the Jazz are pretty good.
Yeah.
I do. I think the Jazz are a very scary basketball team to have to deal with over the course of the season. And I don't know. They're not going to be as hot as they were for the majority of that stretch prior to the All-Star break. But I think they're going to be in the mix for sure. The Phoenix Suns are, I would think that would be the team that the Nuggets could most certainly catch. And I still do think that. They just traded for Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
And so, defensively, the Phoenix Suns are going to be a nightmare for teams to have to face. That is Torrey Craig and Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges and Javon Carter. These players on the perimeter and Jay Crowder, who are fantastic defenders. And so that is going to be a team that's going to have to be reckoned with. So a very, very tough road for the Nuggets. The Nuggets are obviously one of the good teams. But it's on them to put together the winning streak and to now catch these other two. I think they still might catch the Suns. The Utah Jazz, that's a tougher task.
Chris, you and I talked about something 2 or 3 years ago, I think, when all these free agents were moving around, these big-time players were moving around, and we were getting more teams with stars. We said, man, look out. This NBA is going to be wild. It's going to be not just the Golden States. Now you have all these teams that have a shot. Have you ever seen it quite like this, though? You just mentioned a bunch of teams there that I don't think anybody picked to win a title. This doesn't feel like, oh, it's going to be either the Lakers or Clippers or Milwaukee or Philly. This is kind of wide open. And when's the last time we have said this is wide open when it comes to the NBA and the playoff standings?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a while. You know, I thought to a degree, you know, until the Lakers got really hot, I thought to a degree last season was kind of like that, where you could see a number of different teams really making a run. But then the Lakers got, you know, they got traction, and they played great, and that's just how that went down. This year, I do still think that the Lakers are the best team, but man, the Brooklyn Nets, how do you bet against that squad? I mean,
right.
That's James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin. I mean, that's so much talent on one team. Milwaukee obviously is starting to separate themselves from the rest of the pack as well. The Clippers, you know, so I mean, there are a number of teams. I would still say probably that the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets are the odds-on favorites to be in the NBA Finals. But the gap isn't that wide. You know, the gap is that wide. They are flawed enough to where any other team can beat them in a 7-game series.
Yeah, well, either way, Chris, it's going to be fun, man. I think it's going to be a playoffs like unlike we've seen in a while, just back and forth, so I'm excited about it. Always appreciate you, my friend, and I like your new measuring device as far as snow. Just throw the little one out there and then see what it is. I'm gonna start doing that now, man. It's easier.
I'm like, wait, is this legitimately 3 feet? Let's see. Amari, come over here.
I'm gonna steal that, man. I'm gonna start using it because I don't need to mess with the tape measure or anything anymore, man. I'm gonna do it. I'm stealing it.
So good,
Chris.
So good.
Appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, we'll see you, man.
All right, Chris Dempsey. He's one of the good ones, folks. He's amazing at his job, and it's awesome for us to be able to get him on this program. It does feel kind of wide open, even though, yeah, Brooklyn's stacked. Get them in the playoffs. It's not March Madness. Get these teams in the playoffs, and they click, and they're rolling. Colfax, we have, speaking of March Madness, Thursday night special. Did I just give you a hint as to what I'm picking? We're going to take a look at that. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.